Please be seated. There's an old Garth Brooks song entitled Unanswered Prayers. And while the song is about a high school sweetheart, the chorus is memorable, and it goes like this. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Do you believe that? Have you ever had an unanswered prayer? Of course you have. We all have. And it hurts, doesn't it? Time can heal our wounds of disappointment and grief, and even enable us to look back and realize, like the song says, that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. We can rationalize the hopelessness felt from unanswered prayers with phrases like, God has a plan. But there are simply times when our intellect isn't powerful enough to overcome the pain of our hearts. Why does it have to be that way? Why does it have to be that way, especially with good seed like us? I think maybe Paul gives us a clue in his letter to the Romans. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Don't you love that? Sighs too deep for words. Some translations have it groans too deep for words. And that image kind of makes me laugh. The first thing that came to mind when I read it was when my daughter Samantha begged us to take violin lessons, and we relented with groans. And our groans were justified. She didn't like it. She wouldn't practice. She doesn't play the violin today. And if I ever, ever hear Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star on a violin, I think my head will explode. Sorry, Mary Ellen. The Spirit sighs, says Paul, because we just don't know how to pray. And when I was young, I guess I thought of God as the great problem solver, readily available to fix all my problems if I just prayed hard enough. Let me get that A on that social studies test. Let me get that special gift I really wanted for Christmas. Even better, let tomorrow be a snow day. I still pray that one. If God were really good, then God would answer my prayers. I mean, what possible reason could God have for not answering them? But that model of God as problem solver collapsed as I grew older, primarily because it didn't seem that God seemed interested in solving all my problems. God didn't seem to care about me like I thought God should. And in my youthful narcissism, I returned the favor. And I spent a lot of time running away from God. God wasn't the great problem solver. God actually didn't seem to care. In fact, God seemed awfully petty and vengeful, like a grumpy old curmudgeon. Don't sing Jesus Loves Me on the same day when we hear Jesus speak about fire and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lukewarm agnosticism became infinitely easier than trying to measure up to some impossible ideal. So I quit praying. I quit praying for a long time. And I can't say that any single event changed all that. I think it was just more a process of maturity and growth. But over time, I came to realize that there are other ways to relate to God other than just being the great problem solver. A different kind of God. The kind of God who is with us in our pain and our suffering, our sorrow and our grief and our disappointments. a God who is stubborn, stubborn and persistent, where neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers, heights, depths, nor anything in all creation, even our own stubbornness and lack of understanding, can separate us from his love. And over time, I guess I came to understand that our prayer life first needs to change us before we can ever expect it to change our circumstances. But still, I don't know that I've ever found a satisfying answer to the mystery of unanswered prayers. C.S. Lewis once wrote that every war, every famine or plague, almost every deathbed is a monument to a prayer not answered. Maybe it's as simple as we don't know how to pray, like Paul says. Or I guess I could stand up here today and say God does answer all prayers, but sometimes the answer is no, sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's not yet. But that's awfully glib to me. And that sounds too much like a grin and bear it type of God. I guess I could stand up here and proclaim that so often we pray for things that on the surface seem good, but in fact are not in our best interest. But for me, that seems too paternal, daddy type of God, instead of a God who is present with us in the hardness of life. I guess I could tell you that sometimes our prayers aren't answered because they're contradictory. Like, Lord, give me patience right now. But that's really about semantics and not about real need. And I can rightfully stand here and tell you that Scripture is full of stories of unanswered prayer, of faithful men, women, including the one we call Savior. But misery loves company isn't much of a gospel, is it? Or I could just tell you the truth. And the truth is, I don't know. I don't know why some prayers are answered and others seemingly not. Ultimately, the mystery is held only in the mind of God, and maybe not ever to be understood to our satisfaction in our lives here spent peering through the glass dimly. But here's what I do know. Prayer is no gimmick. Prayer is not magic. Prayer is not power in my hands. I don't even think we should be too concerned about the power of prayer, but instead spend more time believing in the power of God, because there's a difference. I do believe that all things work together for good for those who love God, but not in some greeting card kind of way, where the expectation is somehow to be insulated from the pain of life, but rather an understanding that whatever the circumstances, the hardships, the distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, and even just disappointment, God promises to be our companion. I know that sometimes God answers our prayers and we just can't see it. Sometimes we're spiritually nearsighted, so focused on what the answer should be that we're blinded to the possibility of what might be. And sometimes we are equally spiritually farsighted, so focused on something far into the future that we miss the answer to our prayers right now, right before our eyes. And finally, I know that if God had answered just a fraction of the prayers that I've made in my life, that my life would not nearly be as full as it's been. There's an old story of a poem found supposedly in the uniform of an unknown Confederate soldier killed in the Civil War. And the poem goes like this. I asked for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given grace that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing that I asked for, but all that I hoped for. My prayers were indeed answered. Now, I've told you many times that I never preach a sermon to you without preaching it first to myself, and this is no exception. All of us know the pain of unanswered prayer. And my hope for each of us is that in time we can come to know the blessed gift that can come with it. To find peace in that great and lonely chasm between heart and mind, between disappointment and understanding, that comes through the promise of a divine presence that nothing can separate us from. That we might feel the power of a grace that walks each step with us and opens our eyes to what God wants to give us right where we are. That takes great work. It takes trust. But it is only there, I believe, where we can truly come to know what the kingdom of God can be like, where our groans of unanswered prayers can empower us to proclaim with a hopeful expectation, I wonder what God is going to do next. God love you. Amen.